Stay tuned to Radio All for Peace.
You are listening to Radio All for Peace.
Radio All for Peace.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are listening. You are in tune with All for Peace at allforpeace.org. My name is Mike Brand, and this is Rainbow, the interview program with a difference. With me here in the studio today, on the controls, is Yoav. On the show today, I'm really pleased to have two internationally known women, Noah Baum, who is a renowned storyteller, and Israeli actress Mili Avital, who is on a short visit here. On the line, I have the renowned storyteller, Noah Baum. Noam shalom.
Shalom. Hi.
Noah. You tell stories for a living. How did that happen?
Well, it's a long story.
We're willing to listen.
I was an actress at the Chan Theater in Jerusalem, and we were all scheduled to rotate a story hour for families and kids on Friday afternoons, and the new play... I wasn't cast in a part in the new play, and so I was relegated the Cinderella job to do the story hour, the Sha'at Sipur. And at first I was very, very depressed and thought it was the most humiliating of all things that can happen to an actress. But I discovered a whole new world and discovered there's something to the saying, there's a blessing in every curse.
Mm-hmm.
And so I discovered... that I had a lot of freedom, a lot of creative freedom, that I had, I loved the, interaction with the audience. It was very immediate, it was very intimate, it was very powerful. And I discovered, that there's a lot of, healing and, subversive power in storytelling to create change. And so, it became a way of life for me.
Now you have a BFA in theater arts. Can you explain to me what is BFA?
It's just the first, it's the undergraduate, what abroad is called the undergraduate degree, Bachelor of Fine Arts.
Uh-huh. Okay, you left Israel. Mm-hmm. Why?
I left in 1990 just for the very prosaic reason of following my husband. He went to do his PhD in Davis, California, and I followed him, so...
Can you tell us a little bit, there is a history of storytelling from, really, from ancient times.
Well, storytelling, I think, is one of the most ancient art forms, and it's as basic to human nature as, and it's one of the one of the basic human needs, you know, as basic as shelter and food. And storytelling has been there forever. It's the way people communicated for thousands of years before there was writing, before there were books. If you look at everything around you, and you strip it from the outer layers, you will find that at the heart of everything is storytelling. At the heart of law, the heart of history, religion, medicine, everything has story at the heart of it. It's a basic way in which human beings communicate and find meaning in the world is through stories.
Now, who wants and needs to hear stories?
Well, I think everyone. Unfortunately, it's been relegated since stories stopped being the main form of communities to communicate their histories and their values and their psychological well-being. It became relegated to children because stories were collected and it became a thing for children. But it's a complete misconception. I think everybody needs stories. We need them not just for entertainment. I think we need them for healing. We need them to help us learn about other people. We need them to help us learn about ourselves.
What does it do to them? I mean, what is the reaction at the end of the evening of the audience?
Well, I think if a good storyteller takes his audience on a journey. And if you leave a good story, it's like you've had a dream. It puts you in almost like a psychological dream state, in where you experience very deep, you experience things in a very deep emotional and subconscious way. So a good storyteller always leaves you with a feeling as if you've been there, as if you've experienced something. You may not remember the plot, you may not remember exactly the story, but you will remember very, very, very strongly how it made you feel. And anyone, if you ask everyone, go back to a time where you heard a good story, where you remember hearing a story, and people will tell you, oh, I remember my father sitting, and I remember my grandmother, or I remember, and they will start telling you about the person. It is seldom that we remember the exact details of the story, but we remember the connection. And so storytelling is so much about the human connection, and that's why it's so primal and it's so important in our lives, especially when we're so inundated with images and with technology and you know, television, and we're bombarded with images where we barely have time to conjure anything from our own heart, from our own imagination. And what storytelling does is it connects to us through the heart, through our imagination, and it allows us to use our own imagination to conjure up, to create things of our own. And that's why it's so powerful, because it really makes you feel like you've been there, you've created it. It's almost like it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really think stories are important for everyone. You know, we have a huge need for it, and more people are discovering it. More and more people are discovering the power of storytelling to heal, and the power of storytelling in business, and the power of storytelling in medicine, and the power of storytelling in end-of-life issues, and the power of storytelling in education. And you know,
oh, that's what I wanted to ask you. You returned to Tel Aviv to combine storytelling and drama, working in a school for emotionally disturbed boys. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, well, I went to NYU, and I got my master's in educational theater with an emphasis on drama theater. And when I came back to Israel, I started working at a school in Tel Aviv called Boshim, which is a school for emotionally disturbed children, especially boys. I think today they're receiving also girls, but at the time it was only boys. And I became the drama teacher there, and I also taught at Levinsky Teacher College in Bet Berel, and always parallel to this, I continued with my storytelling and with a shadow puppet show with my friend Mickey Mavoach. And you know, I've always continued doing, you know, theater and storytelling on the side.
Okay, we're gonna take a short break now. This is a very appropriate song. It's called Storytelling.
Oh.
Radio All for Peace.
Noah, you said in an interview once that you believe that once you really get to know someone and hear their story, they can no longer be your enemy. Do you believe that?
Absolutely. I created a one-woman show called The Land Twice Promised that I'm actually here to perform. I'm going to be performing it in four different places, and maybe I can announce it at the end.
Please do.
And it's based on my relationship and a friendship with a Palestinian woman that I met while living in Davis. We met at student housing, and for years our kids grew up together, and we would talk in the playground, and, you know, we would always talk. And then I decided that I wanted to work on a story of my six-day war experience, my memories as a child from that war, and I thought, oh, it would really be cool if I could get my friend Jumana to get up on stage, and she could tell her memories, and I could tell mine, and we could create something together. And so I called her up, and she said, oh, come on, you know, I'm an engineer. I don't get up on stage. I don't do things like that. But she agreed to meet and talk, and so I went over to her house, and a whole new phase in our relationship started, where we started really telling each other how it was growing up. I mean, we both grew up in Jerusalem, but in such different worlds. And, you know, it was really an astounding experience listening to her stories. And it wasn't just listening to the story of a Palestinian, it was listening to the stories of my friend. And it was such a powerful experience of compassion that we both felt that I wanted, you know, that kind of pushed me to create this piece, because I really feel that, especially here, especially around the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, there's such a huge lack of listening and fear of really acknowledging the validity of the story of the other. There's a huge, huge gap between these two narratives. It's like they exist on parallel lines, and nobody wants to listen to the story of the other, and nobody wants to acknowledge that the other story has validity. It's like mine is the truth and yours is at best an exaggeration, mostly, you know, lies. And I feel there's a huge need to really start listening and to validate the humanity of the other, and that only by really giving space and acknowledging the validity of the narrative of these two people can we ever even, you know, dream of having some peace here, which, you know, I don't have a lot of illusions about the power of art to really change the world, but on the other hand, I'm not one of those people who can just sit and sink into despair. So I feel like I have to do something, and this is my little something.
How do you think the show is going to be received here in Israel?
I don't know. It's my biggest adventure. I'm very anxious to see and to get the response. I'm hopeful it will be good. You know, I don't think I'm on huge mainstream stages.
That's going to be my next question. Maybe not here in Israel, but I see from your site that you've performed at the Mayo Clinic for Humanities and at the Kennedy Center. That's not main stages.
Right. Well, no, the Kennedy Center wasn't this particular performance. It was another one. But in this particular show, I've been performing now for the last 2.5 years all over the United States. In colleges, universities, and Jewish congregations, churches, and it's been very, very well received. I've been getting very positive responses, and I'm hoping that here too people will respond. A lot of people feel that, you know, in America it's very different. I feel there's a huge ignorance about the complexity of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. There's a tendency to just want to paint everything somehow black and white, and people have no understanding of the shades. And just a huge ignorance. So part of this show is really to introduce people to say, look, behind the rhetoric, behind the headlines, there's human beings, and here are some of their stories. And this is my personal story. It's not like I'm representing all the stories. I'm not. I'm telling one little story, which is mine. And but it gives people, you know, I've been getting responses. People write to me and they say, you know, thank you, I'm now listening to the news differently, or you have managed to show me the Israeli side. I'm surrounded by the Palestinian voices, or you know, I'm grateful to hear about what it's like for Palestinians because I only know the Jewish side. You know, so I'm getting a lot of very, very positive responses. Somebody, you know, wrote to me, I want to become a peace activist. So people are moved by this piece, and they're moved to action, which is very, very encouraging for me.
You're making an impression.
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping to. And what I've done in conjunction with the show, I have two things that I hand out for audiences in America. One is brief historical timeline to just give people an idea, because people really have very little knowledge. And the other thing that I hand out is a list of organizations that work for peace, because again, people see CNN, people watch the news, but they don't see all the hundreds of efforts, just like your station, where Jews and Arabs work together, where there's citizen-to-citizen work, where there's dialogue, where there's people that, in spite of the last 3 years, are still working together, refusing to be enemies. And I think those are the voices that need to be heard, and those are the voices that need the support of you know, American money and the support of the Jewish community in America. And you know, the voices of peace are the ones that need to be heard.
Okay, you're here to perform A Land Twice Promised. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a short excerpt?
Yeah, I can give you the opening.
Okay.
Jumana and I met on the green grass of student housing in Davis, California. Davis, a town where the biggest political struggle in history has been to save the toads from being squashed when they cross the highway. They build a tunnel under the highway to save the toads in Davis. She was holding her baby boy and I was holding mine. She had the kind of dark beauty that I recognized immediately from home, and something about her eyes that reminded me of a shy gazelle. I walked up to her. What's his name? Tamer. And yours? Itai. Where are you from? Jerusalem. I need them all, actually. Oh, I'm from Jerusalem, too. Her American husband stepped right in. My wife is a Palestinian, you know. I knew. I didn't know if she'd want to talk to me. She didn't know if I'd want to talk to her. I grew up in Jerusalem, a divided city where the buildings are made of chiseled stones, Evan Yerushalmit, Jerusalem stone, white, cream, many shades of gray. When I was a little girl before 1967, there were always places at the edge of the city you couldn't go to. It was the border. Once my mother took me to such a place. There were rusty orange signs, caution, mines, no man's land, no passing beyond this point. She took my hand and reclined on a heap of stones and stopped in front of a large roll of barbed wire.
Now, you are here for four performances, two in English and two in Hebrew.
Yes.
Let's just say where you are performing, because we're running out of time.
Oh, okay.
They can go into your internet site and see all the details for themselves.
Absolutely. The next performance is going to be in English, and that's going to be Thursday the 13th at 8 p.m. at Beit Hagat in Ein Karim here in Jerusalem. And Beit Hagat is a non-profit organization that's dedicated to dialogue between individuals of all walks of life, of different religions, cultures, and nationalities. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. And Saturday the 15th at 8:30 p.m., I'm going to be in Nazareth at the Diwan El-Lajoun Theater, which again is a cultural center of Jews and Arabs in Old Town. It's going to be in English. And all the information is on my website.
And the website is?
NoahBaum.com, NoahBaum.com.
Okay, Noah, I'm going to try and make the performance on Monday at Magan Michael.
Oh, that would be great.
I'm really looking forward to it, because that little part that you just read there has, like, whetted my appetite. Noah Baum, storyteller, thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Don't know why I didn't come. I left you by the house of fun. I don't know why I didn't come.
Radio all for peace.